the fiscal cliff we might actually go over.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Monday, February 25th, and we are just 4 days away from $85 billion in automatic federal spending cuts, the sequester, as they're called. Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she is with us now as she is each Monday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Julia, there are a lot of warnings now coming from the White House and others about these cutbacks, about what they'll do at the airports, at the national parks, at the state level. And I'm wondering how much of this is just politics and how much of it is really a threat.
Well, a lot of it is politics, especially some of the very dire scenarios being painted. Keep in mind, we've been absorbing roughly this amount of government cutbacks, both at the federal and state and local level, over the last couple of years. We're going to absorb a little bit more. It's definitely a headwind to growth, but it's not catastrophic.
Well, one of the things that's been said is this is not the way to cut. You don't just indiscriminately cut $85 billion. So I'm wondering, as an economist looking at this, what if they were to come out and say, okay, we're going to be really surgical, we're going to figure out these cuts, a smart way of doing it. Would it be smart right now to cut $85 billion from the budget?
It's been true all along that this is not the best way to go about fiscal policy. Ideally, what we would do is slow down any cuts in government spending, but exchange that for some entitlement reform. The real elephant in the room are the entitlements. It's an unsustainable picture. If we could address that to some degree, we would buy ourselves some space in the near term to go a little bit easier on the economy.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Well, Martha Stewart is back in court this week. She'll be testifying in a lawsuit between Macy's and JCPenney, which are battling over who has the right to carry Stewart's line of products. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
Last year, Martha Stewart renewed an agreement she had with Macy's, giving them exclusive rights to sell her line of cookware, home decor, and textiles.
Part of that deal, as I understand it, is that Martha Stewart can sell its products in its own stores.
Dave Riebstein researches product line strategy at Wharton. Martha Stewart's lawyers argue that she is simply doing what her contract allows, selling her products in her own store.
If it was located next to JCPenney, that would be fine. This just so happens that it's located within JCPenney.
JCPenney is calling the Martha Stewart store within a store a boutique. Kevin Keller is a professor of marketing at Dartmouth College. He says the struggling retailer has a lot at stake in this case.
They've invested in this. This is something that they see as part of their strategy going forward and clearly want this to happen.
Stewart told Macy's about her plans to partner with JCPenney the night before the deal was announced. Reading from a script, she said that it would be good for both companies, quote, even though you might not agree. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Well, now it's quiz time here at the Marketplace Morning Report, and joining us from Washington is our quiz master, Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief at theglobalist.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. So I take it you're ready for today's Globalist quiz.
I'm always ready.
Here we go. There's an almost continuous stream of news stories that we've all listened to on Marketplace about acts of corruption,
yeah,
whether committed by officials in China or other places. So my question for you today is this. Which of the following emerging market economies is perceived to have the highest level of corruption in its public sector? Is it A, China, B, Russia, C, Brazil, or D, India?
You know, I've always heard that Russia is the worst when it comes to corruption, so I'm going to go with Russia.
We have a total winner and a totally new thing. I think this is the very first, the very first time that you hit it on the nail, and it is true. Among the 176 nations that Transparency International, the NGO that is dedicated to this issue, is measuring every year, Russia comes out in 133rd place.
Huh.
It is by far the worst of the BRIC countries, and So my question to you as a bonus question is, which of these is the best performing? You have leftist choices, China, Brazil, or India?
I'm going to go with Brazil.
You are absolutely in perfect shape today.
Wow, that's two
for
two.
I do too easy stuff now. Brazil comes in 69th globally. And what's interesting there is, I mean, of course, Brazil still has significant corruption. They have corruption scandals. People have to resign from the president's staff. But what's great is this actually happens now. These people are held accountable, put in front of a trial, and found guilty. And that's a significant piece of progress. So there's still a big corruption agenda to be solved globally. But congratulations on a perfect job today. You're my man.
All right. Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief at The Globalist. Thanks as always.
You're very welcome. Enjoyed it today.
And finally, sometimes a vacation is not what you expected when you planned it. But listen to some of these complaints that came into the British travel agency Thomas Cook from travelers who were disappointed in their trips. Quote, no one told us there would be fish in the sea. The children were startled. End quote. And my favorite, quote, topless sunbathing on the beach should be banned. The holiday was ruined as my husband spent all day looking at other women. End quote. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.